Jesus surrendered his life for us to surrender our lives unto him. He went all the way in surrendering his life to bring us an opportunity here this morning. No matter what you may be going through, Jesus experienced it all here on earth. But he was obedient to the Father, and he took it all the way to the cross. He surrendered it all for us to surrender all here this day, to allow the plan of the Father to work for your life, my life, those that are still out there lost and bound. They need to know through your life and my life, not only that Jesus surrendered it all at the cross, but that we surrendered all as well, not on the cross, but unto Jesus. He made a way for us. And we need to remember here this beautiful Sunday morning, when we were lost and bound, we just thought there was no way out of the mess called sin. Family couldn't help us. Nobody could help us. There was no way out. But Jesus, he made a way for your life and my life that called for him to surrender his life. And I believe that's what the Lord is looking for here this morning. Here within the church, those viewing through Facebook, he's looking for surrendered lives unto him, that he may be able to empower and use in these end times that we're living in, that people would be able to recognize Jesus. Not just his plan, but that they would be able to recognize his plan in operation in your life and my life, that it works. But we need to surrender ourselves unto the Lord in order for it to take place. And I'm going to give you a moment right there where you're at this morning, whether it's here in the sanctuary or there at your house, in your living room, in your car, wherever you may be at, just to surrender your life unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Worship team, great job. You may have your seats as well. I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. We got a good turnout considering the circumstances out there beyond the church doors. Amen. I'm happy to preach here this morning. Tell me why. Because I got to take my mask off, amen? It's a privilege to be able to preach the gospel in the end times that we're living in right now. By everything that's taking place, amen? But I believe the Lord has given me a word here. We're still on the theme on a time to recognize Jesus. How much know it's much easier at times recognizing what the enemy's doing in your life, in your marriage, in one of your children's lives. He lets it be known black and white what he's doing. But then we have the Lord on the other hand, has got a plan, a mysterious plan for your life, my life, for this city, for this world. Amen. And it's a plan that we got to see by faith. And I believe every man and every woman should get to that place to be able to see by faith. Simply by how great God is. How big He is. Should allow you to see Him clearly with eyes closed, but with faith. I spoke last week on Queen Sheba and the 1,500 miles she traveled to check out everything that was being said about Solomon, whether it was true or not. In her heart, we found out that she believed it was not true. But as the message went forward at the real end, it was not when she heard that influence to go, but it was when she saw that she believed. And then she was able to see past the life of Solomon. And she was able to bring praise unto the Lord. Here this day, I want to continue to speak on the life of Solomon. In the latter years of his life. Amen. How many know you can learn some things as you get older and older? Amen. Amen. That being young can't teach you on its best day. I believe here those that are 40 and greater are going to have a simpler understanding of the message today, because we know we're getting older. But I want to speak to the youth of the church, the young, to listen here this day. Even though you may think you don't have to, that you ain't old yet, Grandpa says one day it's going to come to everybody. So listen now, get it right. So when you do become old, amen, you'll know what to do, amen. The title of this message this morning is A Time to Recognize Jesus by Evaluating Our Lives. Each and every one of us, as the message is preached, is going to be evaluating our lives, taking a deep inventory of where we're at truly with the Lord. And I pray that the person of the Holy Spirit be there to guide you, to lead you, that it would not be where you think you're at with the Lord, but that the presence of the Lord would lead you to truly where you're at with the Lord here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. I've been thinking a lot as I get older. I'm 59 years old now. I still feel great. Vertigo's messing with me, amen. It's messing with me right now, but I gave instructions to Felipe. Anything goes down, I walk off, you walk up. It just gets you dizzy for no reason at all, amen. But other than that, I'm very healthy. And I've been thinking more and more as time goes by, and I read the book of Ecclesiastes, amen, and the words of Solomon later on in his life as he would evaluate his life, evaluate life itself with a great wisdom. And he would be able to look back in time and to see what he chased after was meaningless, and he was able to evaluate the lives of others also and to see them chasing what he chased, which was meaningless. Vanity, 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 Solomon would say. We have a beautiful home now in Germantown. 6 beautiful acres. You could say I have it all. But deep inside, my life before the Lord, that property has nothing to do with it. I would love to say that I've gotten more happier being out there in the country, being that I was raised in the country, and that I'm so much more happier than the 23 years of living with the rehab. But I would have to say that the worth within my life was so much greater in the house I left and not the house I'm in right now. I'm experiencing having possessions of great things and how it's not adding to my joy or happiness. So I have a little hair of knowledge here this day of what Solomon was viewing as he would write. He not only had the greatest wisdom, but he was also a very wealthy man. And he was able to look at all those things that he had acquired, that he had done, as chasing the wind. So I pray that you listen here this day closely and evaluate your life. That you evaluate what's really important and not what everybody else might have. But what is really important that the Lord has already given you within your life. And that you would experience the opening of the gift or gifts that have been placed by God within your life. Because that's the only way your life is going to be fulfilled and satisfied, is by using the gift or gifts that God has given you. A time to recognize Jesus by evaluating our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7, I want to use for the opening scripture here this morning. Reading out of the NLT translation, amen? And it opens up by saying, talk is cheap. If you have a different translation, you can look up at the screens. It's pretty much what the world says, amen? The Bible reads, talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. I pray here this day that you use me, Lord, in a simple but mighty and powerful way, Lord, Father God, to be able to open the hearts of your sons and daughters, to be able to open their minds to truly what's important here this day. And that would be fearing you, Lord Father God, and doing it your way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Here Solomon compares cheap talk along with daydreams and useless activities versus fearing God instead. Solomon journeyed a long time to get to this place within his life, and we're all on a journey with the Lord here this day. And within this journey, we will make mistakes, Within this journey, we will make right decisions. But here, Solomon, if there was anyone, amen, that has seen it all, done it all, it was Solomon. It was Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 reads, this is Solomon speaking to himself, amen. He said, and I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. So here he has all this wisdom, wiser than any king that had ever ruled in Jerusalem before him. Amen. He says, I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything. That's a heavy line right there. Solomon put his wisdom to work. The Bible records that, so he set out to learn everything from wisdom. From wisdom. How are you able to learn everything? From wisdom. But he goes on to say, from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. So here we come to find out that Solomon, being the wisest king that Jerusalem ever had, came to a place to not only learn everything from wisdom, but he knew if he was really going to be a wise king, he would also have to learn madness. Go on the dark side of the moon, so to speak. Amen? So here Solomon is speaking to himself, and he says, I learned firsthand, not just by knowing, having the greatest wisdom, but by even to the point of the greatest points of madness and folly. And all of this was like chasing the wind. He learned everything from wisdom to madness. And he learned that all that he had learned was compared to like chasing the wind. Not only wisdom, but madness as well. I put a point here in my notes that says, how many know what makes Victor Outreach International so effective? Question. And I put here is that we learned madness well. We had half the equation that Solomon had, amen? With no wisdom. Because some of you know it don't take much wisdom to do it the world's way, amen? Solomon said he learned firsthand. He partied. He went there. He experienced it all, good and evil, to get to the place to be able to evaluate, reflect on his life and the life of others, of you and I here this morning, to what's truly important right now. What truly counts within your life right now? What are you chasing after here this day? What are you pursuing within your life? And he kept using the verses of what takes place under the sun. And he knew that what was more important than what took place under the sun was what took place above the sun. And what God had to offer. And too many times, because our life revolves under the sun in this world that we live in, we can learn all right, just like Solomon learned wisdom, amen, but he also learned madness. My point here is, and I believe Solomon's point, is that if you can learn madness, you can acquire wisdom. See, to learn madness, I don't know about you, but I put my life on the line over and over and over. I experienced death over and over and over. I was well learned in madness. In my sin, I knew it well. I could operate in the dark. I could operate with nobody with me. I could operate with mom and dad not wanting nothing to do with me no more. My brothers and sisters not wanting nothing to do with me anymore. I could go solo in my madness. I didn't need nobody. I could do this thing called madness. And the more I applied it, the better I got at it. The more wicked I became, the more lost and bound I became, till I reached the point behind prison bars where Jesus would come knocking and say, "Are you ready? Are you done thinking you can do this by yourself? I'm ready to take you out of your madness that you have learned so well. And take you into my wisdom that I want you to learn so well. Not only for your life, but for your wife, your children, and the congregation there at Victory Outreach Milwaukee one day that you will be at." It's one thing to acquire madness. It's another thing to acquire the wisdom of God. That takes homework. That takes stopping doing some of the things or all of the things that you're still doing that deals with madness. Solomon said he learned firsthand. He wanted the wisdom so bad. He wanted to be taught. He wanted to be a pupil, even though he was the king. He wanted it so bad that he knew he had to take a walk on the wild side. Solomon said he learned firsthand. We call it been there, done that. I believe I put here in my notes, like never before, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Fearing God instead of what we've been doing for some many years. I thought I was capable of leading my own life for many, many years. Even though I was so deceived and so going the wrong way, I thought I still had it all together. I thought everything was so good because my life had turned into madness. Not only understanding what it is to be lost and bound, but recognizing God as Lord and Savior, having a personal relationship with Jesus. Message is going to be short today. I just want you to think about your life right now. As I've been thinking about my life a lot. Because you can be saved and be missing it. I believe through all of Solomon's writing, he was able to see that he missed it for a lot of years. And what he thought was important was not. It was equivalent to as of chasing the wind. It was meaningless. So I've been evaluating my life because I'm not getting younger, I'm getting older. I'm getting older. And I want to make the right moves. With the years that I have left, I want to be effective. I want to continue to grow in wisdom. But not forget that at one time I was lost and bound, that I also have acquired. Only God is able to do, you know, all things. Only God is able to use all things for the good to those that love Him, been called according to His purpose. Only God can use our track record, amen, and use it as wisdom, amen, like Solomon had, amen, for the salvation of lives, for those that are still lost and bound. We're able, move camera, we're able to go to the sinner. We're able to say, I was where you were at. I was lost and bound like you were at. We're able to share something that we haven't had in common at one time, amen, in our lives and where they're at. And we're able to go to them and say, I understand where you're at right now. I understand what you're going through right now. I understand. I understand. I was lost. I was brown. I was by drugs, addiction, in prison. I understand why you're struggling. I understand why you think you still got it in control. I understand why you still wanted to do it your way. I understand. And being Victory Outreach, we understand what the lost and the bound is currently going through right now on the outside of these doors of this church. We understand. Only God can use our sin, turn it into an understanding to give to those that are in sin, because we understand. We have hands-on experience, as Solomon said. We've been there. We've done that. But our lives now need to grow in wisdom. Fearing God instead of just coming to church. But to have an understanding to why you have been saved by God, why you have been selected by God, when your track record was one of learning to the point of madness. Why would God choose a people like you and I? Because the plan for us is to go back to the madness with an understanding of what it's like to be lost and bound, but also with the wisdom of Christ within our lives to show them how to get out of that learning of madness that they might have lived their whole life and being unlearned and fearing God instead and giving the Lord a shot. That's why we're equipped when it comes to the streets, when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to going to the street corner. We're well learned. We have a madness wisdom, amen, that many churches don't have. We got a rock in our pocket, amen, that many don't got. That God wants to use your past as an understanding of wisdom to those that are still currently lost and bound, to bring them out, to fear God instead, So Solomon was viewing his life. And I believe he learned well in wisdom beyond anybody's capacity. And I believe also in the learning of madness, he went beyond anybody's capacity because he wanted to know everything. But the wisdom the Lord had given him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the Bible reads, I said to myself, there he is talking to himself again. I've been talking to myself lately a lot. I mean a lot. Questioning things. Man, should I go this way or this way? Neither one deals with sin, but one's the better way, the more effective way, the Martha Mary thing. With this epidemic taking place, this virus, many pastors right now are dying with this virus. It's real. In California, it's hitting the churches hard. It's shutting places down. And we can get all gangster and all, man, when I was in the world, man, I didn't care, man. If the virus would have came, that wouldn't have stopped me from getting high. It wouldn't have stopped me. Because if that was the truth, there would be no drug addicts on the street right now. They're not fearing the virus. And that would normally say right there, so why should the church fear the virus? But the virus is real. It's sin. Sin is real. Even though it's been conquered, there's still consequences to sin. From 1 through 11, Solomon continues to talk to himself. He said, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Amen? Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? And after much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. Amen? How many have tried to cheer themselves lately with wine? Let there not be an amen in the church. Amen? I try to cheer myself with wine, and while still seeking wisdom and drinking wine, amen, I clutch at foolishness. So he was saying, as I was trying to use wisdom and being cheerful and drinking wine, I took hold of foolishness because wine will make you foolish. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried, here he is trying all these things. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself. Amen. We were with Solomon up to that point right there. Amen. I also try to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasures of many kings and provinces, I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. He had all kinds of old ladies, amen? I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I look at everything, all those things he mentioned, he's talking good, talking to himself, evaluating. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Wow. So youth of today, be careful what you put your heart on. Be careful what you pursue. Be careful what you chase after. Just because you're not doing drugs don't mean you're going the right way. Amen? Drug addiction is just one of the red flags that says you're going the wrong way. Amen? Listen to what's taking place. But Solomon was simply saying that anything outside of the Lord was meaningless. As great as it was, he had experienced it all. And I believe even though he was the wisest man, he lost a lot of years of his life that he could have been doing something else. If he learned madness, I believe that took years, amen, to learn the madness. Took us years to learn madness, amen. Anything outside of what the Lord has for your life is meaningless. No matter if it sparkles and shines like gold. No matter if you just think she's the last one on this planet and you just got to have her. If it's not the plan of God, it's meaningless even to even think of pursuing that relationship. Amen. If you're not quite sure, be sure, pursue Jesus. Be sure, pursue wisdom. I know I chased and lost so many years thinking I was going the right way. I thank God that he was able to use my learning of madness to qualify me as one of his end time sons in preaching the gospel. What should have disqualified me in knowing what the world is going through right now. There's many people that have never tried drugs or ever been in prison or on a street corner or ate out of a trash can. I have done all the above. And today it's almost part of my every message I preach. God is wanting to use your past madness. And he's so good he can even use your present madness. If you keep it real, we all have a little madness in there somewhere. Amen? He's able to use it. But we need to be so careful with the time ticking on the clock, at least for my life. Time is ticking. And I want to do something greater for God, because what he did for me, I would never be able to outdo what he did for my life. I want to make sure as my life the years as I get older, that the steps get shorter and slower, that I'm going the right way, doing the right things. There's no time to be wasting right now. It is evident that we're living in the end times now. It's just not a message no more. We're able to see that we're in the end times right now. And God is looking for men and women and youth to surrender their lives unto Him and to be able to fear God instead of what you're doing. For some, He's calling to leave that career behind that you've been chasing. That career was to fill a void within your life. For some, it's to fulfill that career you've been chasing after and working hard for. You see, we can't waste time anymore. Back in the days, it was no biggie to waste time, amen? Because I never worried about how much time was on the clock. But today, it's a concern. It's a personal concern of mine. How much time I got left on my clock. I look out our beautiful home. We have beautiful bay windows looking forward and out to the back to all the land. And I say, God, make me happy. I'm seeing something beautiful. Make me happy. And I try to enjoy it, and I try to look into it, and I try to get some satisfaction by the beautiful country, viewing the beautiful country, wild turkeys walking through there, deer in there, and every bird singing at the same time, all in tune, and I'm looking for something to make me happy. As I pursue the things of the Lord, when for the last, if I was 8 or 9 years living here on top of the rehab, my window overlooked the back parking lot of the church. And I was in tune with the Lord. Being able to see everything through a window. I was able to see life going by. The prostitute, the drug addict, cars peeling out, sirens going by. And it was real easy for me to say I'm at the right place, at the right time. And as I go further back to 25th and National, I don't know what it is about these big windows. I had a big window on the house I lived there, right by the church again, that oversaw 25th and National. And at that time, as we purchased the property at that time, that was like 2000, at the end of 2003. It was jumping off on 24th and 25th and National. They still had the pay phones in the parking lot and the laundromat, the quick stop right across the street. And that would just be a circle of prostitutes and dealers around those phones, the old-fashioned ones, amen? And I seen it all there. I mean, that was, and then one day I started tweaking because I would be up there through the midnight oil with my light on, the blinds open, and if they were looking, they would always see me talking all the time with no one else in the room. And it was me praying. They would go by and I would individually pray for them. I knew them almost personally because when I would go to the store, I would tell them all hi. I would sit out in my steps and I would be able to evangelize at the step of my door to my house. And I look back on that time. And even though my kids didn't have a safe place to come out and play, man, I was in the middle of it all. I was doing what God had called me to do. I was feeling the pain. I was seeing the pain. I was understanding the pain. And now I look out these beautiful windows from my house and I see the beautiful country. And I say, help, Lord. Help me. I don't see people no more. And I chased after that house when the Lord put it in my heart. I've killed myself along with some of the guys from the home. Long hours working there. And I read Solomon and I see him evaluating his life, being the wisest man, the wisest king of ever, with wealth and everything. And I say, God, where are the people? So I say, be careful what you chase after. Be careful what you work so hard for. Even though you've done it for so many years faithfully, it might just be meaningless. You could be chasing the wind. You could be going nowhere. And I believe a lot of times, that's why people in the church are stuck, because they're trying to have what the next person has. And they put their focus more on what a person has than what the Lord has to offer your life and my life. I never thought twice that I was in the wrong spot when I was on 25th and National, when I was here. It never entered my mind once that I was at the wrong place. We have a little dog, Mocha, and she barks a million trillion times a day when we lived here, because it's a revolving door, the man walking in and out of the house, new man coming, that just nonstop, the people from the church, it's just grand station. And then we're at our house now, Mocha is becoming lazy. She's sleeping all the time now. She has nothing to bark about no more. She don't have to check out that new man in the home no more. She's 10 years old. She's old, but she's getting now old real quick. Because she has nothing to bark about. I think she just hangs out waiting for somebody to walk in nowadays. So I've been viewing my life. I told Felipe, man, I might mess up today. I think this message was just for me and it's not for the church. You can sense in your spirit when you were on and when you're off. I have a lot of spiritual madness to offer those that are living in madness. I'm not living in madness. It's something of the past. My life has so much to offer way beyond what I'm doing behind this pulpit right now. I view my marriage. I view my children. Am I missing it? We brought all these dogs again. Amen. They all started barking last night at 3 a.m. That's my watch. The graveyard shift is my watch on all the puppies. So darn it, because we have 2 pups. Now we got a whole litter of other puppies, amen. For anybody who wants to buy a poodle, call me at 414-236-1368. One call, that's all. So now some are in the garage and they start barking. They make the ones that are living with us that we're training in the house, they start barking. And usually they bark because they have to go out, and that's my watch. But now they're just barking. There's noise in the garage with the other puppies barking. So I had to get up at 3 and I'm out there. I'm going to be honest. In my boxers, in my backyard, I live in the country. I'm out in my backyard in my boxers. Amen. See, you can't get this anywhere else. Amen. Taking my dogs out, and they don't even want to use the restroom, and I knew it. They were just barking because of the other puppies making noise. So I bring them back in the house, and I go to sleep knowing that my alarm's going to be ringing at 5. Did it ring at 5? It sure did. Amen. But I got with the Lord. I got with the Lord. I got with the Lord. I prayed, did everything I was supposed to do, took care of the dogs, took care of the chickens, let them out, the food, all these farm responsibilities, amen, that have added on to my list that I'm already underwater in. So I asked the Lord, looking out that beautiful window into the beautiful country, to help me. To help me. Because I'm finding it hard to make that adjustment of just being with the family. Every night we watch TV together, we're driving each other crazy. We did that maybe once every 10 years, amen? And never missed a minute. Be careful what you chase after. You just might get it. And it may not be God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 15 to 20, the Bible reads, we all come to the end of our lives. I feel like Grandpa's talking right now. He hounds me on that one, man. He don't let go of me, man. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed. Not just naked, but empty-handed, and as empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. Listen up. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God. See, God gives wealth in many different ways. Amen. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people, get this one, love the ministry that got you busy right now, amen? God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. I was so busy in ministry, I still am, but in a different way now. I was so busy in ministry, coming to this city night and day in the streets. I was so busy that I had no time to brood. It's like to waste time on thinking of the past. Amen. I had no time to even think of the past. God had me so busy in what I was doing for the lost and bound. It was a work I enjoyed. I enjoy doing it every day, not just on Sunday, but every day, 24/7. He kept me busy, hands to the plow, where I had no time at all. I was so busy by God to to look back and to harp over the bad things that took place in my life or that were presently taking place in my life. I had no time to trip out because God had so much for me to do in regards in working with people's lives. And I believe when we're not busy upon our Father's business, that allows us just to look back at our past or even our present and where we're at and to view it through the eyes of ungratefulness. You see, it's very easy to become ungrateful when your hands are not to the plow. It's easy to become ungrateful, to talk about people when your hands are to the plow. As I was driving to church with Grandpa here this morning, it's a quiet ride for many reasons. And I had my flavored water now that I'm drinking, a healthy one that don't have no carbonation, all that. I'm trying everything in the book, amen? And as I was taking a little sip, my truck kind of veered off just a little bit, and real smooth. I was driving with my knees, amen? I had to open the... How many drive with their knee, have ever driven with their knee? I drive with my knees all the time, amen? I used to shoot dope while driving with my knees, amen? And the truck veered off a little bit. And what was once quiet in the truck, Grandpa looked at me and said, "You know what? I told somebody in Portugal." I said, "What did you tell somebody in Portugal, Grandpa?" "There was one time a man in the back seat, and he kept talking to the driver. And I said, 'Don't talk to the driver.'" He goes, "In life, there's some things that you can do, two or three things at the same time. But driving is one that you can't." He was really saying was, "I seen you go off the road right now. Keep your eyes on the road. Drink water when you get there." He always gives these parables when he's really talking about you. It was just me and him in the truck. I said, "You know what I mean?" I said, "I know what you mean, Grandpa. I know what you mean." So, man, I drove so on a straight line. I felt I was back in driver's ed, and one at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, blinkers, looking over my shoulder and everything. Because he's sitting there, but he's peeping game. And he gave this long old story. I felt like saying, "How come you don't tell that to my wife? That's texting and messaging and on the phone. She goes off the road and you say, 'Everybody makes mistakes.'" Yeah. All of a sudden, we go home. I get mad with my wife every drive we're together because she gets too close to bumpers at 70 miles an hour. And if she makes a little... Grandpa says, "Everybody makes mistakes, but for me, I get a parable." One that's said for only I to understand, loud and clear, keep your eyes on the road. There's just some things in life that you can't do two things at the same time, like serve God and the devil. The Bible says you can either serve one master or the other. You can't serve both of them. I turned it into a scripture, Grandpa. Too many trying to serve two masters right now and still go the right way and be blessed of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 14 and 15, and getting ready to close. Solomon speaking. "And I know that whatever God does is final. And I know whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him." final. What is happening now has happened before. And what will happen in the future has happened before. Because God makes the same things happen over and over again. Verse 14 says, God has the final word. Whether you're going the right way or the wrong way, He's the judge of judges, amen? And one day, Grandpa says, we're going to all, not just him, but we're all going to settle accounts. He's going to settle accounts with us and what we did and what we didn't do. He has the final word in your life, in my life. It's not her. It's not him. It's not that addiction. He has the final word. He had the first words. He spoke everything into existence. If he had the first word in the creating of the universe, why can't he have the last word? I believe he's going to have the last word. He's going to have the last word. And my prayer for your life and this city is that we fear the Lord instead. The Bible says that he allows it to take place over and over again. The end of that verse right there says, because God makes the same things, not different things, the same things happen over and over again. What has been happening in your life over and over and over again? What is it that needs to change? You've seen the look. You've seen the work of the enemy. God allows it to take place over and over, I believe, for you and I to get it right. He'll allow certain things to take place in your life over and over and over again until we get it right. And the way we're going to get it right is by fearing God, by putting Him first within our lives. The clock is ticking. Evaluate your life, I say here this day. Are you where you belong? Are you doing what you should be doing with the wisdom and the madness that lies within your life in helping others that are lost and bound? Is your wisdom past madness benefiting others or not? Because if it's not benefiting others, it's not benefiting your life. Because it starts with you and I here this day. Solomon went as high as you could go and as low as you could go to be able to speak these words here this day about chasing the wind, working for the wind. Paul says that we beat the air. That we got to have a target. We got to have a bullseye in our life. Not us beating the air. As the worship team, please, kindly makes their way forward. We're trying to grow a church right now in the hard times. Amen. The hit of an enemy is taking place right now. For all to see. But I believe Jesus is wanting to be recognized here this day. The Lord is wanting to be recognized here this day by your life and through your life. What is it? What is it? Because His word's final. Whatever you might be encountering here this day, it don't look good. Tragedy has struck financially, family, all the above. I want to encourage you here this day and let you know that the Lord has the final word about your life. He has the final word. He can make a change today, right there where you're at. He can bring a change like He did in my life, like He's still doing it in my life. I need to make sure that my life counts and it's not chasing the wind. How about your life here this day? Are you using your gifts to edify the body of Christ? Are you doing your part to strengthen the body, not just any body, but the body of Christ that He is the head of? We all need to do our part. And we got to learn how to do our part, not just in the good times, but in the tough times, in the hard times. We got to be men of God, women of God, that know how to stand, and after standing, to stand some more. Knowing who's got the last word, who the last round belongs to. It's Jesus. And it's a victorious round. The last round, you may not be winning in the round you're in right now. But my friend, I want to let you know the last round belongs to Jesus. He's got the last word in regards to your life. But He's asking for you to fulfill the purpose that He has placed within your life. And it begins with seeking Him, giving reverence to the Lord as we stand here this day. There's something great that lies within your life right now that the enemy's trying to cover up with what's currently taking place right now in this world that we live in. The word is that the Lord's got the last word. It's not he or she. The Lord's got the last word here this day. And there's nothing that His word cannot do and not accomplish. And I pray that His word has gone forth here this day, and that it not return back void unto Him, but that it accomplish what it was sent out to do in your life and through your life, whatever the song is. To be willing. God is able to use your past as a wisdom to what the lost and bound needs here this day. You can start right there where you're at, in the church, in your living room, in your car. You can start